ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, titled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, text number 26. Gadaswatham imam deham virakto mukta bandhanaha avijnata gadirjahyat Savai Dhira Udahrata. Gata Sva Artham. Without being properly utilized. Imam. This. Deham. Material body. Viraktaha. Indifferently. Mukta. Being freed. Bandhanaha. From all obligations. Avijnata gatihi. Unknown destination. Jahyat. One should give up this body. Saha. Such a person. Why? Certainly. Dhiraha. Undisturbed. Udahridaha. Is said to be so. Translation: he is called undisturbed who goes to unknown remote place and, freed from all obligations, quits his material body when it has become useless. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narottama Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava sect, has sung, "My Lord, I have simply wasted my life. Having obtained the human body, I have neglected to worship your lordship. And therefore, I have willingly drunk poison." In other words, the human body is especially meant for cultivating knowledge of devotional service to the Lord, without which life becomes full of anxieties and miserable conditions. Therefore, one who has spoiled his life without such cultural activities is advised to leave home without knowledge of friends and relatives, and being thus freed from all obligations of family, society, country, etc., give up the body at some unknown destination so that others may not know where and how he has met his death. Dhira means one who is not disturbed. Even when there is sufficient provocation, One cannot give up a comfortable family life due to his affectionate relation with wife and children. Self-realization is obstructed by such undue affection for family. And if anyone is at all able to forget such a relation, he is called undisturbed or dhira. This is, however, the path of renunciation based on frustrated life. But stabilization of such renunciation is possible only by association with bona fide saints and self-realized souls by which one can be engaged in the loving devotional service of the Lord. Sincere surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is possible by awakening the transcendental senses of service. This is made possible by association with pure devotees of the Lord. Dhritarashtra was lucky enough to have a brother whose very association was a source of liberation for this frustrated life.
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Datati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Taptakanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So in this verse, today we will be speaking about this purport as well as today is appearance of Virabhadra Goswami. So we'll speak a little bit about Virabhadra Goswami also today. So here we can see the definition of Dhira. We can see how Dhritarashtra was stuck in the family life and he never wanted to quit that life. He wanted to just drag on as much as possible. However, by the mercy of Mahatma Vidura, he was able to give up his material attachment and he was able to leave the family. Now, if we try to see how difficult it is to get out from materialistic family life, it is a great deal. And it is very beautifully mentioned in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So recently we were studying Srimad Bhagavatam in our Bhakti Vaibhav. So there are a series of chapters dealing with materialistic family life. And I was going through those chapters and it became so obvious and so clear and so graphic how difficult it is to get out from materialistic family life and how much bondage it is causing. So the whole description given by Kapil Dev is very graphic. So one may ask why such graphic descriptions are given. So the reason is, say for instance, if we need a poster, we always approach Jai Prabhu. Why? We can take an computer, you can take an A4 size, you can just type it or you can write it and you can put the notice board or you can invite people with a flyer. But people are not attracted if you just give the message. So always we need so much of color, we need so much of masala, spices to add up so that materialistic mind will get attracted, then we can actually give the message. In the same way, the descriptions in Bhagavatam is also very graphic. But it is reality, it is not just extra spicing. No, it's all reality. But it is presented in such a way that, okay, at one point we think, oh, this is meaningful and it is very powerful. So we can see the teachings of Kapila Dev. And who is Kapila Dev? And in fact, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear, there are a few Kapila Devs, right? One is the atheistic Kapila Dev. Atheistic Kapila Dev, he propagated the philosophy which is practically atheism. He never spoke about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He rather spoke about the Sankhya, which is completely materialistic. Then, more than that, there is Kapila Dev, who is son of Devahuti. So that is Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So these are the two Kapila Devs that is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. But if you go to India, people may not even know that Kapila Dev. They say Kapila Dev, only one Kapila Dev everyone knows. That is the cricketer. That Kapila Dev the whole India knows. If we speak about this Devahuti, if we speak about atheistic, no one knows. It's only one Kapila Dev. In fact, a few years back, when we were having a program in Latrobe University, Kapil Dev visited, the cricketer, not the son of Devahuti. So then, I think the Bhakti Yoga Club, Harsh Prabhu, he gifted one Veda book to Kapil Dev. So that is Kapil Dev. So he also came in touch with Srila Prabhupada's books. So that was really nice. So whatever it is, we are speaking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are not interested in any other Kapil Devs. Now, the chapter is titled, it is descriptions about the adverse fruitive activities, the adverse effects of fruitive activities. So, the fruitive activities in itself is very pleasant, it is very attractive in the first go. It looks very captivating, it is very promising. So that's the reason the fruitive activities in itself is very graphic, as we were describing why we need something which is graphic. So when we present the sufferings, the adverse effects of such fruitive activities, that is also very graphic and very descriptive. So Kapiladeva starts with an example. He says in the 30th chapter of 3rd canto that just like a mass of cloud does not know the effect of mighty wind, in the same way a materialistic person does not know the effect of the time factor which is being carried out by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one may perform the fruitive activities, and due to his materialistic mind he is completely unaware, he is completely oblivious of the effects, but which will be carried out by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of time factor. So this is the beginning verse of this chapter. And in fact, I was just going through the couple of chapters, that is the 30 and the 31, and then it was obvious the gist of the whole chapter is presented in this just one verse. How the time factor is spoiling all the materialistic plan in due course. Now, it is mentioned that in a materialistic family life, there are shackles. Just like a prisoner has shackles and iron bars, in the same way, Srila Prabhupada mentions, and here Kapiladeva mentions, that in a materialistic family life, the shackles are the beauty of one's wife, the sweet words of children, and it is mentioned the so-called loving words of wife and children, which are making one a permanent resident of the material world. So it is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear that materially one becomes completely captivated. So we had to understand this is nothing to do with the devotees. It is completely a description completely about a materialistic family life. Because now the scene is a bit different, because there may not be so much of materialistic family life, there may not be so much of families, but in the Vedic age there was family, there was a strong family structure, and that's why there was the definition of Grihamedhi. So currently even that standard is not existing. Many of the places there are not many families. First it started with India, there was the whole combined family, big families, and then it broke into the nuclear family, they called nuclear families. There is just the husband, wife and children, that is nuclear family, mostly at most parents, you know, just like that, that is nuclear family. And then now even that family structure is falling apart. So that is the situation of the world. And here Srila Prabhupada is making it very clear how this material association causes one to forget completely about the spiritual aspect of life. So then it continues, it mentions that one becomes a secure prisoner. In that material association, one becomes a secure prisoner. So everything is provided and it looks like everything is fine, everything is nice, so I don't have to get out from this comfortable position. Now it is also mentioned that if one can successfully counteract for the miseries of this world, then he is considered successful. So this is the material definition of success. Because there are so many miseries in this world. Say for instance, hunger is a misery. And if one can have 5-course meal and he consider himself very successful. Yes, my life is very nice. I can go to any restaurant. I can have the high class food. But it is nothing but mitigation of a misery. We can take so many examples. There are so many natural disturbances. So one needs shelter. So one needs a home. So if one can achieve that materialistically, one thinks, okay, I am successful in life. So this is the nature. So Bhagavatam presents the root reality. That is, the cessation of miseries is termed happiness according to material terms. Then obviously, there are so much of reverses in occupation. You know, the unemployment is a big issue, more than ever before. So, when one is completely placed oneself in the material association, and when one actually goes through this kind of tribulations, the life becomes completely difficult. For a devotees, okay, devotees also go through this kind of difficulties. It's not that devotees do not become jobless in terms of their career. Yes, many devotees, they face problems. But they don't understand, they don't identify completely with the situation. They don't think, my life is only dependent on this job, or my boss is my maintainer. Gotrupte varnam tatha. So a devotee understands, ultimately it is by the will of Krishna. And ultimately Krishna will maintain me. So that faith is there for the devotee. Same place, same miseries, when it is afflicted to a materialistic person, it is completely different. He has no shelter. He sees, my credit, my sustenance is simply based on money. Security means bank balance. So as it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, bhayam dutiya abhinivechita syat. The second nature is of the material existence is fear. Ishat apedasya viparya smriti. When it happens, ishat apedasya. When actually one turns away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, aparya asmriti, asmriti, he becomes completely forgetful. Then, tat mayatam buddha abhajetam bhaktiyakam esham guru devatatma. So, when one actually turns back from Krishna, Maya Devi completely captures. And then, the life becomes completely miserable. And even in that miserable condition, there are some small rewards of the material nature. Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita mentions, the so-called happiness of the material world, that is the actual trap. Because there is so much of misery, and in between there is a little bit of happiness. Say, one is working so hard, I have seen people who is working for 12 hours, 13 hours a day. And in India, in IT sector, here is a little better. There are suffering in other forms. But in terms of IT sector, I have seen in India, people are ready to work Saturday and Sunday. And they are ready to work overnight. Because at the end of the day, they think, okay, I get some extra money. I may get a promotion. So these are the promises of Maya. So in the same chapter, it is very beautifully mentioned, the two aspects of Maya Shakti. Maya Devi has two potencies. One is Avaranatmika and one is Prakshepatmika Shaktis. So, Avaranatmika Shakti, the covering potency of illusion, covers. So, it covers one person, and the covering is such that he thinks even the most miserable condition as, it's okay. It's not too bad. See, if you go to a hospital, if one is lying down, you know, he's, you know, maybe on traction, still if he asks, how are you, he'll say, not too bad, I'm okay. This is called Avaranatmika, this is covering potency. Then, second is Prakshepatmika. It is known as pulling down potency. And the effect is such that it is actually the beating potency. So, it covers and beats. So, after beating, one thinks, okay, this is such a bad thing, then again covered. So, again, how the Maya works? Again, give one more beating. Like this, the life after life, species after species, we are traveling. Species after species. So, it is mentioned, it's a very interesting statement is there in one of the texts. And it is mentioned that due to deep-rooted attraction for one's own body, family, society, etc., one thinks that one's life is perfect. So I was just thinking, in all species of life, deep-rooted attraction for body, family, society, etc., one thinks the life is perfect. So I was just thinking, you know, how everything is working, you know, deep-rooted attraction. So I was thinking, yes, this deep-rooted attraction means deep-rooted attachment. So I was thinking, what is deep-rooted attachment? Deep-rooted attachment means deep-rooted identification. So it is nothing but the deep-rooted identification of ourselves with the body. And the material bodies are designed such that for the body and the mind, there is an equivalent object of self-gratification. Of exactly in any species, there are the objects for sense gratification which is perfectly matching. Yes, there is a perfect match between the sense object and a particular set of mind and the corresponding sense objects. That perfect match is there. So that is always befitting very nicely. And when we get identify with that situation, then what happens? We think, okay, I am perfect because I have sense gratification. Then again, the beating comes. So this continues. So Kapiladeva is very, very elaborately warning how the material entanglement works. Then Kapiladeva continues. Very interesting point. He mentions that even for such a materialistic person, when one earns for the family and works hard, and after that one gets retired or the body becomes invalid, and it is mentioned, then the same wife who is also completely affected by illusion, she won't give the same respect as before. See the sad situation. This is material life, the reality. If somebody is completely materially situated, this is the reality, Kapiladeva says. And he says, children give no respect. You know, even they may send to old age home nowadays. That time maybe there is no old age home. They used to stay at home. Now, kids they send to old age home. That's it. There is no responsibility at all. Even if there is some looking after the body, still it's not complete, because without spiritual knowledge, that is not complete. It's mentioned, the foolish family man does not become averse to family, although he is maintained by those whom he once maintained. Look, here the situation is, he thinks, first of all, the family thinks the husband is the maintainer. They don't see Krishna is the maintainer. Similarly, this maintainer of the so-called maintainer of the family, he thinks I am the maintainer of the family. Mm-hmm. See? So in both cases for devotees it is Gopripse Varanam Tatha. Krishna is the maintainer. So in any situation we have to see that. We have to consciously think Krishna is the maintainer. It is difficult because it may not become very obvious by the situation. By the work or by this or that, we may think. We always see the immediate cause as the reason. So that is one interesting point that is given in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, Dharmaraj in the form of bull makes this statement. That is, even I am beaten by this dark man, the Kali personified, still I don't say that he is the reason for my suffering. See, he is just an intermediate cause. He is not the ultimate cause. Ultimate cause must be my own karma. So this is how the karma, the one who is just immediate to us, he is not the cause of our suffering. So here also, even for maintenance, the immediate cause is not our maintainer, but ultimately one is maintained by Krishna. So this is very important. Prabhu says, talks about elephant sometimes. You know, elephant can eat so much. You know, whatever all of us can eat together, elephant can eat like this. Have you ever seen feeding elephants? It's very interesting, you know. They eat, you know, so much. It's like our take our yellow bucket, you know, our yellow bucket, famous yellow bucket, ghee bucket, you know, alawari. That much, this big rice we make, you know, this much and give it to the elephant. You know, you just eat. Like that, keep going so much, because I have seen. I am from a place there are a lot of elephants, so it is just amazing, you know, so much of eating. So sometimes when we throw prasadam, I always get this realization. When I coming from crosses and, you know, it is just disturbing to throw prasadam in the bin, then I see, if we have an elephant, we can nicely maintain that elephant. Really, this is one thing I was thinking. If we have an elephant, definitely we can maintain that elephant. So, you know, so that's how it is. So who is maintainer? Krishna is the maintainer. Here we can very easily see. So we are eating Krishna prasadam. We are living in the temple, we don't have any other money, no source, so we can easily see. But when we get out, then we can think, no, Krishna is not the maintainer, no, I am the maintainer, my intelligence, like that. So that is the problem a conditioned being is facing, and we can also be in the same trap, unfortunately. Then it mentions that even at the time of death for such a person, he wants to talk to his family, but he can't. Is mentioned, he is completely under the clutches of the time factor. So he can't talk anything. Whereas devotees, how it is? Devotees will be chanting. Family, friends, everyone will be chanting Hare Krishna. So even if we cannot talk, it's okay. We can think about Krishna. And if the tongue can vibrate, it will vibrate. Otherwise one gets a smaranam. That's the result of hearing and chanting. What is? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho, Smaranam. So naturally remembrance will come. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, how everything is exactly opposite. Materially everything looks the same, but the situation is completely different, as second chapter of Bhagavad Gita says. Now, it becomes very, very difficult for a materialistic person to leave such kind of a comfortable family situation, even if it is not comfortable. This is actually very interesting. Even if it is not comfortable, one cannot give up. And Kapildev actually answers the question, what is the infatuation? What is actually keeping one in this kind of a situation? So he mentions that the infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman or to the fellowship of men who are fond of women. So this is applicable in both ways, because in a couple of verses later, Kapildev talks exactly opposite. For a woman, how man in a family, everything is maya. It's everything is same point. It's death. It's call of death. So it is both ways. So this is the infatuation keeps one in that kind of entanglement perpetually. Now, it is mentioned here that it is very difficult to give up this kind of attachment. So I was watching a video, a documentary, which Devamrita Maharaj was showing in one of the retreats, the old age, an old age documentary. It was very graphic, and it is, you know, people, without Krishna conscious knowledge, if someone sees, one can become a bit depressed, because it is the life of old age. And in that, there was old couple, and the lady was, the wife was affected by dementia, I think. And she had, her cognitive ability was thoroughly affected, and she can't have a proper conversation. And the husband is there, both were in a kind of nursing home situation, and they were interviewing the husband, because husband could speak, and the wife couldn't speak anything properly. She was speaking, but it was not intelligible. It was just, you know, broken things. And this man was telling that, I can never have a decent conversation with her. I can't have a decent conversation. You know, whatever she tells, it doesn't make any sense. It's just nonsense. But he said, I can't think of a life without her. Mm-hmm. So this is a classic example of the attachment, material attachment. So practically speaking, there is nothing. There is no beauty. There is nothing. But still, just the attachment is dragging him. So think about his death. What will he think at the time of death, and what kind of body he is going to get? So he is going to get all this. So this is the situation. This is the graphic illustration of material attachment. Now, here, Dhritarashtra, he is also attached to the family in terms of he wants somebody to maintain. So he is ready to accept whatever. He is attached to the material comforts. He is attached to the position. And so he is in that comfortable position, and he was reluctant to give up that. Now, it took Mahatma Vidura to give the spiritual knowledge so that he could actually get out from that materialistic situation and become a dhira. So Srila Prabhupada says that for anyone, at least one must come to the stage of vanapras in terms of renunciation. So this is the statement of Srila Prabhupada. So vanapras means still one can have a family in terms of devotees, one can have a family. Still, one's spiritual, the focus is completely worshipping the Lord. One is not much bothered about one's maintenance in terms of working outside, etc. One is not so much bothered about growing their children, that is done. So primary focus is only focusing the spiritual life. So Prabhupada says one has to at least come to the platform of vanaprastha in terms of renunciation. And even for devotees, it can be actually difficult to, if it is required, difficult to give up family, because it's not necessary, as in Bhagavad Gita, in Purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that if family is favorable, then one doesn't have to give up the family. But if it is required, one can give up. If one has to preach, one can actually give up. There is nothing wrong, it is mentioned. And that is the teaching of Kapildev also. It is fine to leave the family. Kapildev, he could have actually stayed in the family position. So there is a question, why he left the family? Point number one, he left the family because he achieved his mission of instructing his mother and for the whole world, the Sankhya philosophy, that is the devotional service. Second, it is just to show that one doesn't have to be in the family position all the time. The single life is suitable for spiritual advancement. So to show that, he actually left the family. One time, my Guru Maharaj was giving a retreat. It was kind of a youth retreat, but many devotees were there. So he showed the old age video. And after that, there was a kind of a role play. So he asked all Matajis, they were devotees, all Matajis, you know, can you, you know, one by one, you know, can you act, say something about your life, okay, assume you are now in your 80s or 90s, whatever, and look back to your life and tell, you know, what happened, you know, a flashback to your life, just for, you know, a demonstration. So, there's some, you know, different people, different things, you know, and some of them brave, they said, you know, oh, my husband took sannyas a few years back, you know, like that, you know, so, they were making a kind of, you know, powerful statements like that. Then Maharaj asked, because they were devotees, Maharaj asked, who is ready, who is happy that your wife takes sannyas? Sorry, husband takes sannyas. Who is ready for that? Then there was a pin drop silence in the whole assembly. No one actually raised, no one. Then Maharaj said, actually, everyone wants their husbands to die at home rather than taking sannyas. It was very heavy, actually. You know, all of them, I was low. Really, you know, it's like shaking. He was actually shaking up everyone. It was pretty much new people, new devotees, but he was actually shaking everyone up. So I was reading this couple of days past time, and I was thinking, you know, how the whole thing is structured and the instructions. And here, the main point in this purport is that one has to at least come to the platform of dhira. And dhira means one is not disturbed by the materialistic family affection. So it is not the devotional sentiments, but materialistic family affection. If one is not disturbed with that, and one is happy to leave such a position, he is called dhira. And here we can see how Dhritarashtra is acting as a dhira under the instruction of Mahatma Vidura. And next point is that one could renounce the family situation because of frustration, but that in itself is not sufficient. To complete that process of renunciation, one must develop attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna. So there is now a couple of purports, the description is given how it is not sufficient renunciation just based on frustrated family life. It could be an impetus for one to leave the family situation, but no, that's not the actual reason of renunciation. Actual reason for renunciation is attachment to lotus feet of Krishna. So here it's mentioned, yes, for that sake, here there's a strong association of Mahatma Vidur, where there's all possibility for development of bhakti in the heart of any materialistic person. So we can also take shelter of pure devotees through which we can develop that detachment. So when we speak about detachment, it is not just the or renunciation or sannyas, it is not necessary means saffron, it not necessary means danda. Right? Because Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, beginning verse itself makes very clear that is renunciation, it's not just the external, it is internal. Renunciation from the enjoyment, the renunciation from the fruit of one's activities. So that is the renunciation. And that is based upon serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, so that is about the positive shelter. So here, we conclude this section, that is, one shouldn't misunderstand this dhira. It is mentioned dhira is the preliminary qualification to the path of sannyas. And then it is mentioned, sannyas is the preliminary qualification to become a paramahamsa. All these things doesn't mean the external sannyas or it doesn't mean external paramahamsa, but everything is internal process. Now, here Srila Prabhupada makes it a very nice statement regarding this renunciation. I'll read the purport. He should not unnecessarily show that he has renounced this world. Actually, renunciation is not possible. If one renounces his palatial building and goes to a forest, there is actually no renunciation. For the palatial building is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the forest is also the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So renunciation means renunciation of the heart, renunciation from false ego, renunciation from the mood of being an enjoyer. So that is the actual renunciation. So Srila Prabhupada is encouraging that point very clearly. Now, leaving there, today is the appearance of Veerabhadra Goswami, Veerabhadra Goswami. So I will speak a few words about Veerabhadra Goswami in his glorification and seeking his mercy. So there is this beautiful verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Veerabhadra Gosai Skanda Mahashaka Tara Upashaka Yatha Asankhyata Lekha. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Adilila mentions, after Nityananda Prabhu, the greatest branch is Virabhadra Goswami, who also has innumerable branches and sub-branches. It is not possible to describe them all. So, Virabhadra Goswami, there is a whole nice pastime of his appearance. And his appearance pastime is connected with one of the acharyas in our line. And he is none other than Abhiram Thakur. So first I will explain the constitutional position of Virabhadra Goswami. Yes, Virabhadra Goswami appeared as the son of Nityananda Prabhu and also in Vasudha Mataji. So, Virabhadra Goswami is not Jiva Tattva. That is a very important point. He is Vishnu Tattva. He is in the category of Vishnu Tattva. So, he is an expansion and expansion of Krishna ultimately. Expansion and many lines of expansion. Kala, expansion and expansion, expansion and expansion of Krishna. And Virabhadra Goswami is actually an incarnation of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. We know that Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, so that is Karnodakshaya Vishnu. Whereas Virabhadra Goswami is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, who is the super soul within everyone's heart. So that is the exalted position of Virabhadra Goswami. And he appeared as son of Nityananda Prabhu, who is none other than, he is also Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can see a Supreme Lord, a Lord is appearing from another Supreme Lord. So a Vishuddhattva is coming out from another Vishuddhattva. So that is the appearance of Virabhadra Goswami. Now, in that purport, there is a whole description given about the disciplic succession of Virabhadra Goswami. So here, it is mentioned, there is a very important point in here, so that is what I am mentioning. It is mentioned that there were three sons of Virabhadra Goswami. So it is mentioned, these sons are not seminal sons, rather they are sons by initiation. They are spiritual sons. So the three names are given, Gopinath Vallabha, Gopijana Vallabha, Ramakrishna and Ramachandra. So they are given as the sons, or the spiritual sons of Virabhadra Goswami. And there is the whole disciplic succession, even in the seminal line, starting from those disciples. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur make it very clear that Virabhadra Goswami had no issues. He had no progenies. Why he makes it clear? Because there is a whole upper sampradaya known as Nityananda Vamsha. And the Nityananda Vamsha, they claim that it is their sole proprietorship to preach Krishna consciousness. And no one else is allowed to preach Krishna consciousness. And they are coming, they claim that they are coming from the seminal line of Nityananda Prabhu. But it is makes it clear from this purport, Bhaktisiddhanta makes it very clear that he had no issues, and so there is no seminal line coming from Nityananda Prabhu. The only son was Virabhadra of Nityananda Prabhu, and he had no progeny. So the claim of Nityananda Vamsha is completely bogus. So we had to understand this point very clearly. And in fact, Nityananda Vamsha, they attack Bhaktisiddhanta and his followers. The caste Goswamis who claim to be coming from this Nityananda Vamsha, they verbally attacked Bhaktisiddhanta, and they were against giving initiation and Brahmana initiation to all the people without discrimination. So it is a very important point. Now, it is mentioned, although Virabhadra Gosai was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he presented himself as a great devotee, and although the Supreme Godhead is transcendental to all Vedic injunctions, he strictly followed the Vedic rituals. See? Virabhadra Goswami, he was the Supreme, he was the Personality of Godhead, he was Kshirodakshaya Vishnu himself, but he acted perfectly as a devotee and he followed the rules and regulations very nicely. He is the main pillar in the hall of devotional service erected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew within himself that he acted as a Supreme Lord Vishnu, but externally he was prideless. See? Externally he was prideless. We are nothing, we are conditioned, and we have so much of anarthas, but still we are so proud. But here, Virabhadra Goswami, even though he was the Supreme, he was the Lord himself, still he acted simply as a devotee. Now, his appearance we will discuss a little bit. Because his appearance has to do something with the great Acharya whose name is Abhiram Thakur. So Abhiram Thakur, he was one of the Dwadasha Gopalas in Krishna Leela. Dwadasha Gopala means the 12 Gopalas, the 12 Gopas, who were the principal associates of Krishna. In fact, we can see there are principal associates of Krishna in terms of gopis. In the same way, Ashta Sakhis are there, the 8 Sakhis are there. In the same way, in the Dasaras, Krishna has his Dwadasha Gopalas as his principal associates. So one of them is Abhiram Thakur. And he was, I think he was Sridham. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, he appeared as Abhiram Thakur. Is Abhiram Thakur. Now, Abhiram Thakur, he had a whip, and his whip is known as Jayamangal. And there is some speciality about this whip. What is the speciality? The speciality is that if he whips with that, that person becomes, he will attain Krishna Prema. How is that? So if we get a beating out of that whip, he will become pure devotee of Krishna. Second feature of Abhiram Thakur was, if he pays obeisances to anyone and anything, if it is not pure Saligram Shila, that will crack open. So if he actually pays obeisance to us, means if we are not a pure devotee or whatever, our life is finished. So people were very afraid of Abhiram Thakur because of two reasons. One is, he's whipping and they don't know what's the meaning of this beating. Second, if he pays obeisances, then he's finished. One is finished. So, Nityananda Prabhu, he was having his sons. So he had his first son. Then, when he had his first son, Abhiram Thakur visited and he paid obeisances unto that son. Immediately, the son died. Then, Nityananda Prabhu had his second son. And Abhiram Thakur, he made sure that Abhiram Thakur didn't know about the birth. Still, Abhiram Thakur somehow or other came to know. He came there and he paid obeisances. Then the second son also died. Then he had his third son. Abhiram Thakur somehow or other found out. He came and he paid obeisances. It continued for 7 times. So you can imagine what would have happened to Nityananda Prabhu and his wife. So, in fact, he is the Supreme Lord, he is not affected. But still, externally, they said, we don't want Abhiram Thakur here. So finally, he had one girl. Her name was Ganga Devi. So many sons died and then Ganga Devi appeared. So Ganga Devi appeared and then again Abhiram Thakur came to know and he came to visit. And Abhiram Thakur paid obeisances unto Ganga Devi, newborn child. You can imagine the heartbeats of her mother. You know, it's just completely in shock, you know, what's going to happen. But nothing happened to Ganga Devi. So, Abhiram Thakur said, oh, this time you have deceived. Because he didn't pass away. So, then he actually composed verses in glorification of Ganga Devi. That is called Ganga Ashtagam. So, many verses glorification of Ganga Devi he composed. And then after that, Abhiram Thakur went away. Then, finally, he had a final son for Nityananda Prabhu. And this time they made sure that no one would inform Abhiram Thakur about this son. This was the last. But Abhiram Thakur, as usual, he came to know. He came and his name was Veerabhadra. And he paid obeisances. But nothing happened. So this proves that Veerabhadra is Lord. He is Vishnu Tattva. So he is Kshirodaka Shai Vishnu. And thus, immediately Abhiram Thakur composed verses in glorification of Veerabhadra, and that was Veerabhadra Ashtakam. So that actually glorified Veerabhadra, saying that he is Vishnu Tattva. So the point was that Abhiram Thakur wanted Nityananda Prabhu to bring Vishnu Tattva to this material world. He himself was a Vishnu Tattva, and he wanted Nityananda Prabhu to bring Vishnu Tattva. So that's the reason he performed this pastime. And finally, Veerabhadra appeared, who is the Lord himself. And he acted as a great devotee. And he showered mercy in the form of a great branch of the Chaitanya tree. So we can pray the mercy of Virabhadracharya is Virabhadra Goswami, and we stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Any comments, any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Ganadharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jaya Prabhupada ki Jaya Gaur Premanande.